Premier equine supplement company in the industry, because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product, because we use only FDA supervised facilities to manufacture for us, because what we say is in them, because they work, because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back, and because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 38-4643.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Bright light city, gonna set my soul, gonna set my soul on fire. Got a whole lot of money that's ready to burn, so get those stakes up higher. There's a thousand pretty women waiting out there. They're all living the devil may care, and I'm just a devil with love to spare. So Viva Las Vegas, Viva Las Vegas. How I wish
always great
there were more than
kicking off our selections. We've got about a half a dozen. We have to add some more Vegas cuts. I think we've got about five or six, and I guess we could actually play nothing but that and covers of that. There's
probably a few.
Dead Kennedys. The Dead Kennedys have a terrific Viva Las Vegas cover. We got a few. So kicking it off, and thanks to Nick for joining us. Back with Roger Satina and with Trey Stiles, and we were just kind of chewing on the weather, and Nick brings up, and Roger, you reiterate too, the potential. I'm gonna get Keith to come over and give us a thought about what the scenario is weather-wise, and what the snow for Laurel and Aqueduct and potential, because just looking at Weather Underground, 7 to 10 potentially in New York,
yeah,
which would
even
be
worse
a problem
at Aqueduct probably, because Long Island's supposed to get hammered, so Aqueduct will never run Saturday. I doubt it.
Well, then
Laurel, I don't think it's going to be bad in D.C. They may be all right. Everywhere else looks good, though. Although Gulfstream's going to be like 55 on Saturday. You
know, well, they said
people
that
will have down coats.
Down, they'll be breaking out the Casey always sends me. He always sends me the weather watch when the grandmas are wearing their fur coats.
Yeah, exactly. They'll be out in force.
Yeah, get over to the fur vault, ladies, and pull out Pull out that special you got at Bamberger's back in the day.
There's, oh, boy.
Alexander's. There you go. Right?
Yeah.
Too funny. When did you both first catch wind of the contest scene? How early on, you know, I had this discussion with Paul Matisse, and we did it with Bacek, and we actually, the one, we still have to get to Stanley for his Hall of Fame thoughts. But what caught your eye, and you know, talk about your relationship to contest play?
So it started for me with when Frank Sorensen and I, Delaware Park was like the first one that had a lot of contests up in the Northeast. And they had a lot of really good contests. And I don't even know how many years ago. It's probably 15. Got to be 15 years ago that they started it. And basically just evolved from there. Now, they kind of fell off the contest scene. But when Bill Moore ran their simulcasting there, he passed a number of years ago. He used to have a lot of contests every year. That's really what got me hooked.
I got a quick note. Let me interject. Frank McGoey, speaking of great players, Frank just sent me a missive from Fairgrounds. They're off the turf today. So you last chance players, and I know, yeah, a lot of people sit in the room and listen to the show, Fairgrounds off the turf today, and I'm not sure about that eighth race, if that was scheduled for the turf or not. I think I do have it here, but go ahead, Raj. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so that's really where it started, and just kind of grew from there.
You know, with me, it was I really didn't play contests at all till the NHC qualifiers, and then Sam Houston had one for the third NHC, and I just, you know, I was there, so I played, and I just missed. I want to say if it's sixth or seventh, and they took four or five. And I thought, well, I can do this. So I started playing some of the local, like Rotama and anything I could drive to. I wasn't really motivated to, like I got to the later, but was fortunate to win a couple at Rotama, which is about 3 hours from my home. And then after, really the first trip here, I was like, okay, I got to get back here. This is cool. So that was 20 years ago, and I've been everyone since.
Nice.
I love it. I mean, I was hooked. So, and I pretty much focused here. I don't really play a lot of. I mean, this is my first goal, and once I have obtained that, then maybe I'll start playing some other contests. And I like going to. You know, I love going to San Diego. I like going to Saratoga and playing their contest. But it all kind of centers on trying to get back here.
The discussion between, you know, I brought up BCBC with Nick because his track record has been terrific, and there's plenty of players that are able to compartmentalize the bankroll contest approach versus the $2 win place. But what, you know, what's your format thoughts?
I'm much better at the two winning place, although I'm getting better at the live bankroll. I finished third in the Pacific Challenge at Del Mar this summer. It was probably the best I've ever done in like a live bankroll with exotics.
I agree with that.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with Trey. Like, my biggest goal every year is to get here. And I think just the fact that I can actually come here and just spend days handicapping, which is what I need to do.
Mm-hmm. Just shut everything out.
I just got to shut down. I'll make a few calls to work and then shut phone off and then, all right, I'm good to go.
I was thinking about just like this morning, like why do I like this? I go to Vegas. People are like, well, yeah, you gotta love going to Vegas. No, I sit in my room.
I sit in the room
for a week.
Yeah,
I don't have to. I can wear shorts because I never go outside. I mean, how boring is that, right? But for some reason, I love it. So
yeah,
here I am.
I'm the same way. Every 3 hours, I'll go for like a half hour walk and like get some fresh air.
I do go outside every now and then.
Yeah, and then just come back, but. No, I love the challenge of the handicapping. That's it. I mean, I'll sit in the room for 3 or 4 days, no problem.
Me too. It's weird. Right?
It's really bizarre. My wife will call or text me. She's like, "It's awfully quiet there." It's just me in the room.
Yeah, I'm not sure my wife believed me at first, but no, I'm kidding. Yeah. She knows. I'm just me in the room. How boring is that?
Yeah, agreed.
Go to bed early.
Do you come? Do you ever come back here at any other time of the year?
No.
I have, but rare. I mean, friend got married or whatever, but not a destination, really.
Yeah. No, I never do.
Yeah. And I don't think I'd like it the same. I don't think I'd enjoy it. I was thinking about that, too. If I didn't, what you just described, if I didn't have that to do while I was here, I don't know that I would enjoy it. I have other things to do here. I'm not sure I'd have a grand time, but I really enjoy the getting ready for these contests and as much as playing them.
Yeah, absolutely.
You were talking about the win place format. I like it, and I think I'm in the minority for this, and I catch grief sometimes for saying this out loud, but I think that the win place format that requires people to play multiple races, improve their ability over numerous tracks, distances, I mean, and just the number of entries being involved, as opposed to a live money contest that frequently comes down to one or two all-in plays. I might be wrong, but I think that I'll beat people heads up, spread out over time. It's like the World Series. They don't play just one game. They play seven. And so I think I like this format because I think it makes people prove it over time, and hopefully that gives me an advantage.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. The problem with the live bankroll, it comes down to one race, and who's got the chutzpah there to just send it in and bet it all. And
And
I'll do that. I have no problem doing it, but I'm just not as adept at it.
Well, I think, like I said, if that's one race, I'd rather prove things out over 36 races over 2 days.
Joined by Keith Shamblin. And Keith, I reached out for you because I was we kind of had the heads up moment about the snowstorm for the East Coast and what it might mean for Laurel and for Aqueduct Saturday, and how how the contest would deal with it.
Well, we're watching it closely, just like all the participants here at Bally's who are coming in. I just got a text from Mike Rogers at Laurel Park. He thinks they're going to be okay this weekend, and it doesn't look like the front coming through is going to force them to cancel, at least not at this point. So racing is on at Laurel, and I'm waiting to hear back from the Big A and get an update on what they're expecting, but we're watching it very, very closely. We have an updated forecast, Saturday, 21 degrees and snow, 64% chance of snow, 3 to 5 inches at Aqueduct, so that's what they're calling for. So that doesn't sound too promising,
No. But
we'll have to see what happens there. Laurel on Saturday, 25, partly cloudy, 21% chance of snow as of 7 a.m. this morning. So we'll just keep watching and continue to provide updates. I understand. I think they may be off the grass at Gulfstream.
They're off the turf also at Fairgrounds today.
Yeah, so that'll factor into things as well. So we'll have to watch that. Gulfstream, they're calling for a high on Saturday at Gulfstream at 58 degrees. It's unbelievable.
And apparently in the 30s on Sunday.
Wow.
Incredible. But I'm glad I'm here.
Me too.
Too funny. Hey, Keith, I gave everybody the numbers. In fact, I was just about to tweet it out. But before we do that, we never had a chance yesterday because the news broke after we got off the air. But congratulations to Earl Mack for receiving. He's going to receive the Award of Merit.
Very, very worthy recipient and great honoree and long overdue, actually. He's just been a real ambassador, not only for the United States, but for the sport of horse racing, and terrific. I didn't realize he had a retired thoroughbred back in 1984 that made it to the Olympics and won a silver medal. So you just hear these stories, constant stories about what he's done with horses and horse racing, and it's pretty amazing. So congratulations to him.
As my man Siaka greets him, the Earl of Mack. Earl, how old is Earl?
83.
Because it feels like, I mean, he's been around, I guess that's about right. It feels like
here's a tweet from David O'Rourke at NYRA. How does it look for racing at Big A Friday, Saturday, and Sunday? Not great, was the response. So we'll keep watching and see what happens at the Big A. But
they're okay for today.
They're okay for today.
But Saturday and Sunday, yes. He means.
Yeah, Friday they should be fine, too, because it looks like it's not hit until night.
No. Overnight. Well, and for those that, you know, in terms of inches, Glenn Kozak, I know, once told me that they can incorporate up to about 4 inches of snow, the harrows and the tractors. Once you get past 4 inches of snow, the harrows can't do anything. It has to be cleared, and it's a different scenario. So in terms of quantity of potential snow, Keith, in terms of this record setting last chance first chance, you even were shocked by how much involvement has been signed on.
Well, it's hard to figure, except that the folks who are here came to play. And 532 entries, that's a record. 24 berths to be awarded this afternoon into tomorrow's NHC. Just amazing. And we've got we're still tallying up the final numbers for this weekend's NHC. We'll have those probably within the next 15-20 minutes, but just a tremendous turnout for this last chance first chance contest. And along with those 24 berths into this year's event, three people will win berths into next year's NHC. So great, and just a great turnout. And it's somewhat ironic in that we're going to have end up with about 65 berths that we transferred to the 2023 NHC due to COVID. People just, either have it or were fearful of getting on a plane and coming out here. Understood. And we're trying to work with them. And, they've earned this right. They've spent a lot of money, and we're trying to work our way through this. But last year we had about 80, just over 80 transfers in August into this year's NHC. This year we'll have just over 60 into next year's NHC. So we're trending in the right direction. I was hoping we'd be further along this year with where we are with this pandemic, but we're just not there yet. But nevertheless, we've got a great turnout. We're going to have over, 500, just shy of 550 participants here, nearly 650 entries in the NHC. And, we're finalizing the purse money as we speak, but because every time somebody opts out, we transfer the money with that person. It's the only fair thing to do to those who qualify into next January's NHC. If they're going to play against more players, they ought to play for more money at the same time. So we've got to adjust all that, and we'll finalize those numbers shortly. But it's great turnout. The room looks great. Should be a terrific event.
No
great
doubt.
3 days, and hopefully we'll get through these weather issues and go from there.
I can also add Papa Morales sending me a note that apparently Tampa has already made it known that they'll be off the turf tomorrow.
Really? That throws a monkey wrench into a few things.
Yeah, better get back to work.
And Papa, I appreciate that. And Papa, let me know if that we, Keith's going to check with Peter Berube or if that's something that they've already made the determination.
It's early.
Yeah,
to get really early
to get out ahead. Because storm wise, is there any?
I didn't think so.
No, so there must be. All right,
maybe they were off yesterday. It was wet, but 2 days later, I don't know.
Interesting. All right, that's too bad because that Tampa is a popular spot for. Yeah. For opportunities. All right, Keith is going to work on that and get confirmation. Any other important decision?
Frank Costello yesterday selected entry number 2 to play for his $5 million bonus.
Oh, that's right. He has to designate.
So he's designated entry number 2. We'll note that on the leaderboard and be rooting for him. It'd be I think that'd everybody cool. would love to see somebody win one of these bonuses. And He's got a great chance. So we'll see what happens there.
Who else is playing for bonuses?
I think we've just got a handful this year, fewer than in previous years. I'll have to get a list for you.
Let's get that. And officially, some of those top lines, former champions, how many former champions, that kind of thing.
We'll get all that for you.
All right,
cool. Pull it all together for you. We're working on it right now, and we'll bring it to you as soon as we have it.
I appreciate it. And we're, clearly excited. We got, you can just sense that early arrivals that stake out their tables. And I do see one of the names right in front of us, much like last August, Brian Schenver, who has had as good a year. I mean, every time I've looked up on a leaderboard, Schenvert, senior and, both Schenverts, but I would keep a very close eye. It's amazing how consistent, and that's not to say that, that there aren't mercurial winners that, who have kind of come to the fore over the years that we weren't, familiar with until they emerged, but there are certain players who just seemingly are in a groove. Doczyla, right? Anthony Trezza is somebody who out of that. The Houdat, the Houdet group that is so, Bacek and that whole bunch perennials.
They're going to be here in full force this weekend, and Michael's already warned us that he might need two tables at Sunday night's champion
for the dinner
when he gets inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Well, we also, I did have that conversation with Maven, and he did promise that this year's speech will be much briefer than his expansive.
I followed him. I was next after he. It took so long. I just got up and said a couple words. Sat down because
you pulled a Chief. You pulled an Alan Jerkins after the big flowery introductions for Chief. He comes up, takes the statue, says thank you, and goes and sits down.
Got a standing ovation.
People were excited that I was so fast.
Well, he promised that this will be a much.
I talked to David and I listened to his interview when he was on the other morning,
great.
And he was great and very gracious and. A very, very, the entire class this year, very deserving. All great tournament players, both cash contests, mythical wagering contests. They've stood the test of time. I haven't totaled it up, but I don't even know what the total number of qualifications into the NHC five had.
Yeah.
But it's a big number.
Yeah.
Well over 50, that's for sure.
it's amazing. I mean, there's certain people that just, they have the habits and practice that get them qualified, year after year, and they've the record of success in Vegas is different, is spotty. I mean, getting here is no guarantee that, you're going to make a run. And, essentially, the horses have to run for you, no matter what your approach is.
Ran into a gentleman last night who hadn't qualified in 11 years. Been trying every year.
Wow.
He's like, wow, this is a little different from back at the Red Rock when he walked in the room.
Do we have a number that we know is the longest between qualifications?
That might be it.
That
I don't know.
Be. That's a lot.
11 years. That's a spread. Yeah. That's
a lot of credit for keep trying. I'll tell you.
That's no doubt.
Very determined.
How about and then there's also. And I'm looking forward, hopefully, to getting him on at some point if he can carve out some time the next couple of days. David Snyder. How about Snyder, who was won the tour in 19, right? And won that FloCal on horse tourneys 2 weeks ago. And, a monster score, 180,000. There's another example of you know, honing the contest craft and applying it. You know, it's another alternate way. You know, one thing we haven't really discussed, and I'll let you guys all take a swing at this. The frustration that the horse playing community has with the influence of the computer assisted wagering and the late odds changes, the contest formats and these big money contest opportunities, it's an avenue to stay involved until maybe there's some way to address those frustrations, but it's a way to stay involved in the game. Granted, it doesn't necessarily, you know, the industry might complain that it's not money into the pools, but it is a way to play and make money and enjoy your interest in the game without having to suffer the frustrations of, you know, of the takeout complaints and you know, the ambient difficulties.
I was walking in to register yesterday and passed a table of some gentlemen talking just about that, that they thought contest play was the, didn't know, I just heard this as I was walking by, but that this is one of, like, the only way they think that they can compete, that they can make money doing this, that this is it, that those problems that you just raised were prohibitive for them, you know, succeeding just with cash wagers, and that this is it's fun, and this is the best angle to try to make money doing this.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm pretty sure Oakland does not allow the CAW, right?
I think every organization has
there. Yeah, they have
some control and you know, NYRA has been very pronounced in their you know, attempts to offset the influence.
Yeah, the odd fluctuation thing, the last minute, is just mind-boggling. Yeah,
it's driving people crazy.
Oh, it's
very
it's torture.
Difficult to keep them out of the pools. No question about it. They can find their way in one way or another. In a lot of places, in a lot of these big pools, they find their way into them through a back door. You know, tracks can have policies, but it's just very, very difficult. But, you know, it's something we need to address. And, you know, there's no question the contest play is a different way to participate in our game, and a lot of people like it. I mean, look around. We've got a huge, you know, turnout here this weekend, and I just think this is going to continue to grow, and, you know, we'll have to work through the computer wagering issues. I know it seems like we've been talking about it for years.
Yeah.
You know, it's just on and on and on, but I think the racetrack operators recognize that they need to finally address it.
Well, it's another thorny issue. Considering, in some cases, racetrack companies' involvement in the groups themselves, the complaint about that, you would think, would be even more pronounced than it's been, right? These are as we discussed yesterday with Paul Matisse. I mean, there's so many things that that vex the industry, and there's certain areas where potentially something like HISA has potential influence, but the things that are fixable from a, well, there he is, the phony maven himself, Sheldon Ulsprich, down from Canada, here he, you can't stop him, you can only hope to contain him. You know, Sheldon, much
for me to get here, I've already won.
<There you go. laughs>
Shelly is some character, and I guess they lower the restrictions to get back and forth from Canada?
A little bit, but then they
strengthen them again.
Yeah, they
them
strengthen
up again.
Them, tighten them up, and, you know, this variant is causing all kinds of issues. We've been dealing with participants from Canada for the last couple months, and a lot of them were already in the United States and made decisions not to go back over the border, but just stay here, because out of fear of not being able to cross back in. for this event.
Well, we'll check with Sheldon. He actually may have come in by the same method the ultralight aircraft in Fly Away Home. In the movie where Jeff Daniels and the daughter fly across Lake Ontario to get into America, setting off the early warning detection system.
Who knows?
or maybe
a speedboat.
One of
those every time he flies into America, COVID or no COVID.
That's good to see Sheldon. I don't think he was here. I don't think he was here in 20 either. You know, I mentioned yesterday with. Who was it? Was it with Paul yesterday? You know, Andy Berg. Is Andy qualified?
I don't know.
Andy was the first person, you know, in 20. He said to me, beginning of February, he said to me, we were talking about Saratoga or something, and he said, I wouldn't worry about any of that. He said, because this thing that's coming from Asia is going to absolutely stop everything in its tracks. There's going to be he was the first, because his wife is in the medical profession. And Andy was the first person that sort of made me think, ooh, this thing is, this could be a problem. Right?
Going on 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who would have thought? Yeah. It's crazy.
Well,
I think most of us here this weekend, though, are ready to get on with our lives.
Oh, yeah. I've been ready to get on for 2 years.
Yeah.
Well, listen, there's an argument to be made that of any industry and certainly any pastime, Jim Sevis coming through, and any sport, anything, no entity did a better job than racing powering through. I mean, I don't, and frankly, the industry, which certainly likes to congratulate itself on successes, that's one thing that we haven't taken enough credit for. That everybody's livelihood, the sales companies, the breeding, the actual running of racetracks and keeping owners and players engaged. We did an unbelievable job.
It was amazing, and if you have to take care of these horses 24/7, 365 days a year, you might as well run them too.
Yeah, absolutely.
But to be able to communicate that to regulatory officials in states across the country and actually be able, it's one thing to say it, it's another thing to actually get it done and do it, you know, survive these last 2 years has been pretty amazing.
Unbelievable.
And of course, as we all know, this is a very, very resilient industry.
Exactly. and players, horse players take a lot of abuse in so many different areas, and it's one of the reasons that this event, where the player is celebrated and appreciated, and they're Keith. I mean, we've had this discussion. You've got the players' committee as a conduit to players that have concerns and about the cost structure of the contest and those kinds of things, and you cheerfully have taken those issues and addressed them. But the bottom line is that this event is basically championing horse players and people that love the game and want to be involved.
No question. My favorite weekend of the year, every
Me
single
too.
Year. And I think everybody in here
Absolutely.
Would say the
yeah.
same thing.
Very much. Yep. Very much. I came out as I don't remember the how it even came up and the suggestion. Would you think about coming out to broadcast the NHC? And I was like, okay, it sounds like it makes sense. And now it instantly became one of everybody's favorite things, because the drama, it's an unscripted drama that writes itself, much like the game on a day-to-day basis,
and the camaraderie among the players.
It's a convention.
Amazing.
It's a gathering. New
I'm
friends,
gonna jump and
friends.
Check the weather.
All right,
I'll be back in a few.
Keith Shamblin, everybody, and back with Roger and with Trey. You're good. I can turn it off there. That'll be the post show project, is to figure out why that thing.
It wasn't making any noise just now.
Oh, good. All right.
I heard it a little bit.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
Not sure how that comes through, but I heard it.
I'll figure it out. I'll get. I was able to get, and I got the two new, I had to get that, that headset had to be repaired. And this was a headset that, that you're using that I've been using these from day one, these Sennheisers. And I ordered that one, like, I don't know, 2 years ago. And it came without the plugs. So I had to go, first I sent it to Casey. Casey couldn't find a guy. And then, so then he sent it back to me. I found a guy in Albany that that put the the connections on. Yeah, I know.
It,
it, you, you wouldn't think it would be that big a deal. Well, it's funny, but my Facebook or you know, one of the photo services, they send you, you know, your memory. You know, in fact, I got a picture of you that I took by the Hall of Fame banner of Roger. And it there was one from a couple, maybe like maybe the first or second year we did this. And I was broadcast. Casey might remember. I'm sure Casey remembers. I was having to broadcast through. We were on Skype because the hotel, the hotel wouldn't. We were at Treasure Island. And they wouldn't, they didn't have, either they didn't have an ISDN line at the time, and so I had to, you know, we had to tap dance, and I ended up running to an audiovisual company, you know, that does productions and with, you know, floor shows in Vegas to get a microphone and hookups and stuff. So the right case, do you remember that? We did it through Skype 1 year, which was, you know, you got to be MacGyver at certain times with this stuff. You know, there's some, you know, some teams, they come in, they got a whole engineering staff. Me, I got a suitcase.
Yes,
they got that.
Right,
I got this.
Yeah.
I got this box. Well, the other, we were at, where were we? I think we were at Pimlico. And Scott Wyckoff from the Baltimore media. He took a picture of me and he said, "Great to see Steve Bick at Pimlico with his vintage tie line, a Kodak." And I'm like, "Vintage? What are you talking about? What do you mean vintage? Although it's the only thing broadcast equipment we've ever had."
There you go. Sounds vintage,
right?
Right. It works, doesn't it?
It's
Yeah, I'll never forget that year at Treasure Island when the door was locked. You remember that? And we couldn't find somebody to open the door. Oh, he was like out of his mind.
Well, it'll drive you crazy. I mean, here they actually the 5:30, like on the dot, they've got this door open, and you're able to set up shop. The you know, I walked through Treasure Island yesterday on my way back because I, you know, you pop your head into, you know, into the casinos. And they, considering that these buffets are you know, are kind of hamstrung because of COVID, they expanded their sport. It's mammoth.
Really?
They busted through the wall, and they took the whole area that they had. I'd never been in there in that buffet, but they adjoined it, and it's a mammoth new sports bar and sports book.
Really?
Called Golden Circle. Not looking to publicize, you know, but they, no. But listen, Treasure Island's still very involved. They're doing well. They got rid of the sports book, the one that was by
the old one is gone.
The old one is gone.
Oh, okay.
And it's a Popeyes now. For that chicken sandwich.
By the CVS is a Popeyes now.
Yes, it's a Popeyes and an Asian joint, and they put everything. It's. I mean, I couldn't believe how big it is.
Go check it out.
Golden Circle. Mm-hmm. So a little publicity. They certainly were a wonderful host. They just the contest outgrew the Treasure Island.
Yeah.
Essentially.
The seating was the only issue there.
Yeah.
Because it was really tight and you had all those rooms.
Yeah.
That was really.
The remote.
They outgrew it. Yeah.
Yeah. It just, too, they're just. And to have everybody in the one room, really. Although, you know, there are players who put their plays in and leave. There is that crazy approach.
There is. I was wondering when they moved here, because the first 3 years we were in the sports book. You know, the first three when it was here before we left, it was all in the
way back.
When first, so when they told me they're coming back here, I'm like, yeah, that's not gonna work. But then this is awesome.
Yeah,
everybody here together. This has got to be the biggest TV I've ever seen in my life.
They said that it's the biggest screen in Vegas, and it is something. And not only did they include this screen. How about the video board around the table, around the final table in the center of the room? That's now a video presentation. Okay. That's new. It's pretty spectacular. And speaking of which, I should have actually had that with Keith. We'll probably do it during one of the shows. But this whole Caesars rebrand scenario with this horseshoe, and I think Eric Hallstrom from Indiana told me he's going to be out here. And I'll have to get Eric on. But
yeah, well, what I heard is that they're going to have the World Series of Poker here.
They're having the World Series of Poker here.
I think Rio is
July. Rio's coming down, I understand.
I think Rio's coming down.
Yeah. The World Series of Poker is going to be here. This entire hotel, and I know there are some players that you know, wanted. They said, you know, the hotel, they were ambivalent, and the hotel's going to be completely renovated.
A lot of it has been.
The minute I got here Tuesday night, and that was in the middle of the night, I noticed immediately there were a couple of little hints that they had already started to refresh and work on things.
Yeah, I mean, the room I'm in was definitely redone recently.
Yeah, they're making it. But this horseshoe branding, you're going to see it. Indiana Grand giving away all kinds of material that has the Indiana Grand name for this in lieu of horseshoe being the new brand. And actually, it's kind of funny because it actually kind of feeds into
sure
racing interests for them to change all of their properties over to one name, Horseshoe. Kind of, you know, has a nice equine tie-in.
Yeah, that's good.
Sounds good.
Have you signed up? Well, of course, New Jersey, you're locked in.
I'm locked in.
I'm in Texas. I can't do anything.
You can't do anything. You can't even bet online.
Can't do it.
Pathetic. I signed up totally for Caesars, the Caesars app.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah.
I'll admit, I'm not a huge sports bettor. There's certain things that I like to play.
That'd be awesome.
It's pretty funny, and especially during the during the football playoffs.
Yeah,
have you been you playing a little?
No. I don't bet sports at all.
At all?
No. Not interested.
You know, we touch on a few things, and I've asked a few Scott Shapiro and James, Rich Ang, who will join us. Rich has got sports opinion. My recommendation is the same, really, as in racing. You find an area of expertise and an area of a comfort zone and focus on it. And for me, when it comes to sports, it's always been specialty leagues. You know, I went to Colgate, and so, you know, the 1AA universe in football and things like the Patriot League, there's opportunities that crop up.
Right. Really?
The old Atlantic 10, there are the lines. I mean, the lines are always accurate, quote-unquote, but there, if you're following sort of subsets that are less than the big national names and the top 25 type programs, you can find opportunities. Yeah. And the other night Colgate was getting points and they're red hot. They had had a very weird first half of the season before Patriot League play started, and now they're in league play and suddenly they're back playing well, and so they were getting 10.5 and they won by like 16. So I mean there's imbalances in those the Atlantic 10 is another area where back in the day I used to my buddy Rick Deluski, we had a friend in Vegas and he was betting for us. We put a streak on. One of my great streaks in Vegas actually continues. I once again am in the room furthest away possible from the elevator.
That's good. I like
good
that.
For
I like it so people don't go by.
Yeah, I'm all the way in the end also.
I am too.
It's so quiet.
It's awesome. Yeah. That's the best part.
Yeah.
I don't mind walking. There's those drunks that come by at 3 in the morning.
That's true.
I'm all the way at the end. I love it. It's great. It's so quiet.
I agree. I'm with you.
Well, and there, yeah, there is that confirmation about Tampa
that they went
ahead, and that says for tomorrow for Friday, but let's see if the Saturday, maybe Papo misinterpreted that as just the Friday off the turf, but Tampa not part of the contest today anyway, though. So yeah, it's not as big a deal about whether tomorrow. So
tomorrow that throws a monkey wrench.
We'll see. We'll see.
Well, that's what it says, right?
Yeah,
it's off
said,
on Friday.
No, this will be off the turf tomorrow, Friday, January 28th.
Yeah, then,
so I think what happened was that yes, but for Friday, yes. That's right. Yeah, I'm here it is Thursday, and I'm already confused with the days already.
Yeah, you're
doesn't take long. Amazing. A couple of rip from today's headlines with the two of you while I've got you. We talked about the horse player frustrations, but on the broader issues that are constantly in the forefront. The medication issues, this situation with Baffert, whether you focus on the Churchill and the Derby Oaks point system, some thoughts about how you digest this portion and how it affects your devotion to the game.
I'll punt. I will say, I mean. I heard you on with Bechuk the other day and talking about this topic, and I haven't been moved that far, but it definitely, I mean, it concerns me. It makes it less fun, but I'm still on board, and I want to hear your thoughts because I don't know that I don't know what else to say about that.
Well, here's the issue. Either you play or you don't play, right? I can't imagine me not playing.
I'm with you. Agreed.
So... that's it, right? Yeah. Would I like to see it more regulated and really? I don't know if they could ever get their finger on it the right way. I think it's too big of an undertaking to do that, but it's tough.
Those are my thoughts. Said way better. Well done.
Michael. You know, I didn't. I wasn't going to just. Acquiesce to to that. I mean, the concerns are of course they're valid and
sure,
but at the same time, I don't find the environment so overwhelming. There's people,
right.
Part of the problem is that you've got these concentrations of social media, wave crashing, pounding the beach on a nonstop basis over every steward call, every mm-hmm. DQ and non-DQ. I'm sorry, if you want to be overwhelmed by something, I'd be overwhelmed by concerns about the future of America. If we're going to be concerned about something and feel overwhelmed, that's what I would be. But there's nothing going on right now that is so magnified and so dire that's any different from when I started playing the game and taking an interest in the game. And we adjust to it and deal with it. I just that's my general approach to life too.
I would 200% agree.
Yeah.
I mean, just deal with it. If anything, I think it's better now than maybe it was before. The other two gentlemen got in trouble, right? Like, you don't see guys claiming horses for $5,000 in their winning stakes races anymore, right? It seems like maybe it's in the upper echelon with. But whatever, you deal with it, right?
Well,
either you do it or you don't.
And there's a very big difference between taking 62.5 claimers and $80,000 claims the way Maker client, Maker's got the Maker, they printed the textbook on this. the Wyckoffs and Michael Way and Paradise and those guys, they printed the, you know, these are horses that have, you know, that are in the upper echelon to begin with, the, you know, talented horses that's kind of, you know, they're at a point where I don't know if we can go, you know, where are we going to go now? And so you take them for 62,000 and, you know, these are advanced 4 and 5 year olds, and Maker then has done something different with them. I mean, those, that series of horses that he took from you know, dirt routers and turned them into turf routers, and won stakes with them. I mean, you're not, that's not, you know, that's not what you're referring to.
No,
you know,
taking
it, you know, there is avenues out there, you know, that you can respect.
And a lot of times he's taking them that are running middle distances and getting them to go longer.
Exactly. Recognize. Well, look,
they're not really running that much faster. It's just that they're running further distances more effectively.
Well, right? that Lone Rock.
He was always a really good horse, and then all of a sudden he's a marathoner and he's like a killer.
Well, I have not really had the conversation with Contreras about this. I never remember. Not Contreras.
Lone Rock, Deodoro.
Deodoro, but. It obviously stems from, you know, you get the horse, you get familiar with him, and the exercise rider comes back and says, this horse never gets tired.
Yeah.
Well, what do you do with a horse that never gets tired?
Yeah.
You run him a mile and 5/8, a mile and 3/4, and suddenly, you know, that's what you've got.
It's true.
It's amazing. What's your favorite race? Surface and configuration and distance. It doesn't have to be contest related. And when you see a certain, the distance thing made me, and surface thing made me think of this.
2-turn grass races, for sure.
I don't know that I have a particular preference. Large fields, I mean, wherever I can get them, so that tends to be there.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah,
the more the merrier.
The more the merrier, right? So I'll adjust, but what you just described frequently.
How about in terms of ticket structure and wager preferences, you know, Monday through Sunday, non-contest related?
I play mostly multi-race. I love daily doubles, pick threes, pick fours, type of wagering. And especially with Sam Houston being where I'm playing most right now with the low take there. That fits into my wheelhouse, what I like to play. But I do that. I like that for here, because maybe if I want, I don't bet during the NHC. But I might, when I walk in the door, put a pick four down or a pick five, and then just at the end of the day look and see, did I win or not? Because I've done a lot of the handicapping, but I don't want to be trying to figure out, oh, that horse is good odds here or bad odds. You know, I'm focused entirely on the NHC while I'm here. So it works well for that, too.
I should do that, and this year I promise I will not go up to the window and make a bet.
Good for you. Good for you.
The only 2 years that I finished second, I didn't make a bet, right? And I get enough action on the weekends, the other 51
that's
weeks of the
point.
Year, where I really don't need to do it here.
They don't like to hear that from us, but that's a good point.
No, they don't. But you know what? The reality is how many times can we win 800,000? You can't, right?
Totally agree.
Exactly. That's a great point.
Yeah, my biggest score was ever at any horse racing related was right here. So.
Oh, yeah, I mean, me too. I mean, obviously, yeah.
Well, you, yeah. Really, my,
yeah.
In fact, I can tell because I got the profiles right in front of me. you know, I'll tell you what. If I have trouble with my voice here again, I'm gonna get upset because I've had this issue,
right,
several times, and I can sort of hear already. A little raspiness. It's something strange. It's unbelievable. Very strange. All right, Roger, Satina, let's show everybody how big this has been.
Pretty impressive.
For Roger. Roger Satina from beautiful Rumson. Well, you didn't answer the Q&A.
Oh, I probably forgot.
You've had 12 starts. You know, it's funny. This year, they did not, for whatever reason, they did not put the dollar amount in. Maybe
it's $483,000.
$483,000 for Roger the Dodger.
$200 once, $275 once, and then like $8,300 once.
And very nice.
And you?
Yep.
$75,000 for fifth a few years back, and I've had a few other caches, but mine's more of a numbers game. This will be my 20th.
Wow. Out of 33.
Yeah,
this is 33.
Missed the first three. Didn't even know it existed. The first two, I don't think. And then, like I said, I described that trip that first time getting here through Rotama. Kept trying to figure out how to get back.
That's right, Ruth Ann.
Yeah, she's joining me. She's on a plane right now.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Is she qualified this year?
She actually qualified last year, but was one of the deferrals that they were talking about.
Oh, so she's playing in her
she's
first.
Playing in her first ever, correct.
Well, then you have to, and everybody's listening saying, oh, yeah, it's a team effort. But you denied that last time we talked.
She definitely doesn't play as much as me. I'm not going to say that. But, yeah, she kind of brings me, she knows the basics, and it's, and my youngest son kind of the same way. When I talk horses with them, we're looking at the card, they can sometimes, I get too kind of caught out in space trying to figure out angles, and sometimes they just see the basics and the big picture and get it done. Keep me focused sometimes when they tell me things. I'm like, oh, that's a good point. Well, on our day-to-day wagering.
Well, it's very funny because the grand prize winning plan question, Ruth Ann Stiles says, redo the kitchen and buy a beach house.
Oh, man, I'm in trouble. She's been bugging me about both of those things for a while. So hopefully she wins and that happens.
Well, you don't need to win. The kitchen you can do for 45,000.
We need. I hope she's not listening. Hopefully she's still on the plane. But
we did the kitchen a couple of years ago.
Yeah, it needs to happen, too. I live in a – it needs to be done. So she's right. That's pretty funny, though. I didn't know that's what she put down.
Where would the beach house? Where does she want a beach house?
She probably wants one across the ferry from Galveston, which is where we like to go. I grew up nearby, and so maybe Galveston, but Galveston area.
Okay, which is going to provide and Rogers from Rumson, which is an exclusive coastal town in Jersey, so he can address the hurricane issue. Who the hell lives and specifically? We're going to buy a house in Galveston, the site of one of the worst hurricane disasters in American history. What year was that?
1900. But the Ike wasn't much. Was pretty darn bad. I went down there.
What keeps you people there? what is wrong with you? Who goes back?
You just
We are 150 feet from a river, and then there's Seabright, and then the ocean's on the other side. And I actually love it there. I can walk over the bridge, go to the beach. It's beautiful.
Well,
every hurricane, there was never a problem until Sandy.
Sandy, yeah, right.
This was something.
And Sandy, my wife and my son, who was young at the time, they went to our friends in another part of Rumson, higher ground. I stayed with the cats. And the water came through Seabright, and it was like 5 feet high outside my door, right up to the front porch.
Wow.
And there was like nobody in the neighborhood except for me. And like, I tied a kayak to the front porch. I'm like, if it gets that bad...
Out I go.
And I stayed there, and as fast as the water came in, and there were refrigerators floating by, and it was nuts, it was gone 2 hours later.
Amazing.
Like, it was unbelievable. And it never got into the ground floor. The basement, which isn't finished. Good way to clean your basement out is have a flood in it, right?
No choice.
So you did get...
Oh, yeah. We had... Yeah, I was pumping water all night at the basement. I'm like, I am not leaving my house.
How about... And you didn't lose power?
Oh, yeah, for 2-3 weeks, but I had a generator and stuff. Oh, yeah, I was,
you're ready.
Well, relatively prepared. It was crazy, though. It was crazy. And I remember the next morning I was there passed out on the couch with an empty bottle of tequila next to me, and my wife is, are you alive?
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy.
You're lucky. You're very lucky.
I could not believe, and it didn't even rain. It was just the wind and just the water.
Surge.
I was like,
the surge.
Yeah, the surge. The surge. It was unbelievable.
Did the Navisink, how the...
Oh, yeah, I mean, the ocean came right over. I mean, Seabright, which is the little barrier.
Yeah, well, I lived in Brielle.
Right, was totally underwater. totally underwater.
Just incredible. I mean, there's still, when we go now every year for Monmouth, for Haskell,
yeah.
I mean, there are still properties that are still boarded
still
up.
Is, yeah.
It's unbelievable.
It was unbelievable. Crazy. But all the other hurricanes, we've never had a problem.
That's interesting. And yeah. I remember as a kid, there was the one, you know, we lived inland in Connecticut. We lived in Hartford, outside of Hartford, Manchester. There was a famous one when I was a kid in the 60s. That hit New England, but not like these, not like any. Although, you know, we had the residual of the one of the one that devastated.
We've had several. Ike, Harvey. Harvey was the worst one for me, but Ike's the one that blew away everything on the coast.
The one that came in August would have been 10 years ago now.
Harvey?
Was that Harvey?
I think it might have been.
We've had so many, the
worst ones all come in August or so.
Well, that
early September.
When we had it, even in Saratoga, we dealt with, you know, it and Vermont. There were sections of Vermont where the rain came. There was so much the wash down the mountains. You know, it was crazy. But I cannot believe people who live in coastal, you know, Galveston famously, I mean, has been
1900 flood. It wiped everything out. Literally, just blown. But they didn't have no seawall then and nothing. It was just a sand, you know, little hill. It's all. So now there's a little more protection, but still, yeah. If you're not, but the beach houses would not be behind that.
All right.
We'll have to ask Ruth Ann. I don't know where she's shooting over with her beach ass, but if you can talk her out of it, I'm all for it.
Yeah. So great. Unbelievable. To me, it's one of those airy, one of those aspects of you know, people, why do they go back? I mean, but it's where you're from. It's, you know, that kind of thing.
I wouldn't live anywhere else, so.
I've got some terrific joints that pushes for this summer. We've got to get from you. I can't even get Vegas dining things from you guys because you guys barely leave the hotel. So you're no fun.
We're clueless.
All right. I'm not going to ask then.
I've talked to you about this though. You're the man when it comes to you and your wife out of here.
She can't come. She can't come.
But she knows. Y'all were in the know.
It's an area. It's an area of great importance to me, to be honest. I don't drink anymore, so, you know.
Do something. Right?
Fine dining, enjoy. And when I say fine dining, I don't have a sophisticated, palate. I like joints, and there's, this town has become, I mean, this is, the food here, I mean, is just unbelievable because the crazy part is you've got
everything.
You got outlets of all the greatest restaurateurs in the country have opened outlets here. But to be honest, one of the things that happens is by virtue of that and the staffs that, you know, the assistant chefs and things that man those outlets, they've opened their own joints, and you know they've gone out on their own. So particularly off the strip,
right?
I mean, there are restaurants around this town that, you know, they're strictly for locals and so forth. That, I mean, certainly Vegas goers they find out about them. This Esther's Kitchen.
You were talking about that last year.
It's just spectacular, and I've been going to that Lotus of Siam.
Yeah, that place is really
well. And now they've got these beautiful new, you know, these gorgeous palaces that they built.
Yeah.
But we were going to it, you know, when it was in that decaying shopping center. There was a point at the end when it was the only thing in the shopping center that was open.
Yep.
There had been a roof collapse. The city finally told them, "You got to move. You can't stay in here any longer." And so then they built the one over here. I forget the name of the. There's two of them now, but that's the best. It's the best Thai restaurant in the country. In the country, recognized as. You can't. I mean, You got to book months in advance. Keith's got a place that he went to. That he sent me that he said was just spectacular. A Spanish joint. Here we go. I'm going to give everybody Trays Cazuelas. Trey Cazuelas. Trey spelled with an S, not like you.
I figured.
Trey as in three. Three Cazuelas. Trey Cazuelas. Artisanal Latin cuisine, he said, was exquisite. Unbelievable. And it's out, you know, it's out in the neighborhoods. It's on Spring Mountain Road.
There you go.
All right, so there's
I'm going to you.
There's a push that, you know, I asked him, was it like, you know, tapas-style kind of thing? And he said, no. Yes and no. So they must have small plates plus, you know, plus regular entrees and so forth. Tres Cazuelas, that's the first new and different push.
All right.
Rich A. Well, you know, Rich will be with us all weekend, and Richie, he'll have some ideas. He'll give us a few extras. But what about for you and Rumson and down on the shore?
The best is Angelica's in Seabright. It's just
everybody, you and the problem is. So are you as powerful there as Lou Raffetto?
I can get in there. Someone that works for me is very friendly with Angelica, who actually.
Well, that'll help. That'll go a long way. That'll go a long way.
When my son graduated high school last year, we had his little graduation party there. It was nice. Actually, I had my rehearsal dinner when I got married 22 years ago there. It's a great place.
Everybody,
it's spectacular.
We've had trouble. I've never really asked Lou to get us in, but it's well. I mean, in regard the place in that we've come to love in.
Thank you, buddy.
Oh, what's going on? I'm great. Frank Sorensen. Are you're staying masked?
I'm just too lazy to take it off.
Too funny.
Once I put it on, it's a pain in the ass taking it off.
You're not wrong.
Nice to see you.
Always, Captain Frank himself, Frank Sorensen.
Yeah, we can. Yes. Yeah. A little bit.
Yeah, it's surprising. You know, that's the way I feel, and yet people are complaining. Would I rather be a Giants or Jets fan? No.
Probably not.
Exactly right.
It
I heard. We thought about.
We had
terrible luck. We went to that San Francisco game, the first home game of the year, and they played well enough and just got beat. But then we were supposed to go to that Redskin game. Tina and I are driving, and in fact, we were in Central Jersey. We were around Far Hills, actually, on 287, and I get the notice: Eagles Redskin game pushed to Tuesday.
No,
We're all booked up. I got room. So we ended up spending the weekend in Philly, which is always fun for us. But we didn't get to see that game.
Oh, that sucks.
We were also supposed to go for my birthday. We were going to see the Saint game on the Sunday after my birthday. After my birthday, and I had that heart attack, that stupid heart attack. So I couldn't go then either. So we missed every. We didn't have. We got. They kept taking it out from under us. That's what I felt. I'm telling you, I was very satisfied. Frank Sorensen, unbelievable.
I'll be right over, bud.
In Red Bank. Semolina.
Semolina's really good, too.
Terrific little joint.
Yeah.
And
really good.
Is Mirandola's Bradley Beach? You ever go down to Bradley Beach?
No, I never go down there.
Bradley's nice.
Yeah.
Bradley Beach is good. Mirandola's. And there's a terrific Italian bakery on that same block. That's famous. It was a Brooklyn, and they opened the slot. They got a beach house.
There you go.
That's your new nickname, by the way.
Beach house?
Beach Great. House. Great. Beach house styles.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm locking it in.
Beach house.
Unbelievable. You guys have been unbelievable, and I can't thank you enough.
No problem.
Looking forward to... Wow. You want to talk about a blast from the past? There's a news development that is amazing. Frank Gabriel is coming back to New York, to NYRA, as the the vice president of racing.
Really? Wasn't he from like eons ago?
Way back. Then he was in Dubai. Came back from Dubai. Then went back to Dubai, and now is back. And what a fabulous. What a fabulous acquisition this is for Naira. Frank Gabriel. And somebody was just asking this week, what's going on? When is New York going to name a racing? Frank Gabriel, yeah. Outstanding. To get a guy, I mean, Frank knows everything that's ever happened. And has got a huge international. You know, you want somebody to draw, you know, for the big turf races that you're trying to draw from around the globe. He's a terrific candidate. Wow, that's great. Frank Gabriel. So we'll get more and look forward to talking to him as well. How about that? Well, fellas, this was tremendous.
Enjoyed it.
Great. Yes, very much.
Cannot thank you enough.
You bet.
All right. We'll take a break, and we'll send you out.
Back to our rooms that we were.
Yeah. I was going to say. You got nothing. I was going to say. You're going to sit in the room.
Yeah.
So you're not playing in the this thing.
My brain can't handle 4 days.
That's exactly it. I used to try, but
three's tough enough.
Yeah, my head's spinning by the end, so I can't add another day. No way.
No,
it's way too difficult. Really is.
Agreed.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Always great to kick it off like this, and then to have you and Sam Houston tie-in was fun with Nick and.
I'm going to miss being there this weekend. I'm kind of bummed. Big races. I'm going to miss out. Be here. But such is life. Can't be everywhere.
Well, it could fall into your lap.
That would be cool.
If they end up using Sam Houston, it could end up being one of those serendipitous scenarios.
Could work out. We'll see.
Trey Styles, everybody. Ride that pony. Ride_that_pony. You're on Twitter, but you never tweet.
No, I haven't been.
No.
A couple of years ago, I had a little security thing with social media, and I got pissed off, and I just deleted everything.
That's fine. I remember that. You said goodbye.
After Sunday, maybe I'll have to go back up.
Well, because if you're going to be, if you're going to be the face of NHC champions.
Might have to reevaluate that.
Well,
you know how it is. Time heals.
so does fresh passwords.
Yes.
they say change your password. Trey Styles and Roger Satina. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
We'll take a break here. We'll come back for last 45 or so, and we'll catch you up on some news and on the way. I got to get a picture of the two of you. Catch up on the news and set you up for the draws that yesterday and some of the other, I think I got most of it for Saturday lined up. All right, back after this. We're at the NHC, the National Horse Players Championship, that starts. Brian Skirka, the brain trust of the contest world. There he is. We'll take a break. Come back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only 3 states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, 3-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine.
shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 3-8-4-6-4-3.